It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. We're finally here. We started at 3:30. We technically started at 3:30.
It's true.
But things happen. But the point is, we're here. Welcome, my friends. My mom says she can't find me. Okay, mom, keep trying to look. Keep looking. We're live on the radio right now. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitch. I think we can't tell because we're all using our phones for live streaming. So we don't know if this is even fucking working. But I'm just glad that my homegirls are here with me because, like Valentina said, I'm so on brand right now. So tell me a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
I just think that we sometimes get overwhelmed. There's a lot going on in life right now. So when there's so much happening in your head, there's like little details that we skip.
Yes, girl. And you know it.
You know, we get overwhelmed by the accumulation of little details that we can't get to them.
Yes.
Just gotta keep it easy, like we did in Sam's car.
Yes. Oh, God. Dude, we have some great stories we're gonna tell on this podcast, but we are live with Linda Nuvez. That is my guest, Linda. Everybody, give a round of applause for Linda. She's cute. And I am so glad that Linda is here because Linda is an icon. She's a living legend. She's a style icon.
Oh my God.
Say more.
I love it.
But she's also my friend. And Jen said they don't take reservations, you guys, for my birthday. Those motherfuckers. My birthday is coming up, my birthday is coming up, and I think we're going to get sidetracked a lot on this podcast, but I'm so excited to get to know you deeper, because I've gotten to know you through our interactions. Since last summer, we've started becoming friends and, like, actually hanging out and going on friend dates, and that's why we have so many fun stories we're going to tell today, but I'm excited to learn more about you and get the answers of, like, where you come from, you know, because that is also a really good way to get to know someone. So you get to know your way from the outside in. You know, like, that's like our gift, I think. And we'll get to tell our full moon bruja story and how it all came together. So also welcome my friend Valentina. She's co-hosting this beautiful interview with me today. And we are live, like I said, we're live on Twitch. We hope we're live on YouTube. So I think we are live, you guys, so we can just jump into the interview. I will try to do this all like at the same time, but you know, when I first met Linda, I think we met at Valentina's house, right?
Yes, I didn't officially.
Yes.
We met there.
No, we had dinner before. It all started with the best lasagna you ever tasted.
It's true.
And la pergoleta. And, you know, that's it all started there, and it was history after that. So I'm excited to learn more about your history and your tie to LA. Because I know your dad has so much, you know, so much history. And your guys' family's contribution to music in our community runs so deep. And I know that's where you get your love of music from. It's in your blood, girl.
Absolutely. I love that about my family history.
Yeah.
It runs deep like that.
Well, we're going to start talking about that. But usually how I start the Millennial Miha podcast is I go through, like, updates on what's been going on. Weekends. Yeah, like, what's been going on with me? Because these are my homegirls. They listen to my podcast. And you know what? I think I did shout them out the last show, but we have some homies that are locked up that are listening to the Millennial Miha podcast.
Hello.
So we love to hear it. And so what's new? What is new? What's new is they canceled Gentify.
I saw that.
Wow. And that is some fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, truly some fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
That's the one. And I was like, I was crying when I read Linda Chavez. She's the writer of the Pentified and Marvin. But she wrote this beautiful post and it just brought me to tears. And I was like, that's really mad. Like, they got some whack ass reality shows that they could have canceled or something like this, but this show actually meant something to our community.
Mm-hmm. What did the post say?
The post was just talking about how she when she was younger, she asked her mom why she had so much like pride in being Chicana, or pride in being Mexican. And she said that it was this Chicana girl that came to go speak to the parents at the school that told her about how we could wear that like a badge of honor instead of letting it be something that weakens us or that we're not proud of our culture. And she said that that stuck with her mom, that one interaction. And then she kind of got to the point where, and I was like feeling it leading up to that, like reading that, I was feeling it being like, wait a minute, what is she about to say? And when she dropped that, like that it's, they canceled the show, I was like so sad. I have loved that show. Like I really got into, grown to love those characters, and like seeing Annie on that show, and shout out Annie Gonzalez, because she is magical on that show. And we love her. And she was a guest on my podcast before. Star, girl. She was born to be a star.
Wow.
And she's going to be a star regardless. But it is a damn shame. And Netflix needs to be embarrassed of themselves for canceling this show. Like,
Netflix.
No, that sucks. Did you guys watch the show?
I saw the first season. And then I haven't seen the second one. But it does.
What was your impression of the first season?
I loved it. I think because I could see, like, the situation that the family was in, and like kind of like see my family in the characters, or like friends in the characters.
And they incorporated the community a lot, like the actual LA community. I don't know, it's just a damn shame, and I really hope that we can make, because you know what I have noticed, like, you know about that guy Rogelio, that they charged him, the truck driver. People made a big deal about that, and it changed something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like if we make a big deal about it, if we like express our like disappointment, like I really want to make sure that if the only thing I do is express my disappointment, that that's like contributing somehow, because they need to know that show meant a lot to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know, so it meant a lot to me, and I want to talk more about it on the show. What else? So what did you do this weekend,
Linda? On the weekends, I perform with my dad. So last night, I was at Club Bahia in Echo Park, and I performed with Azúcar LA.
Hey, your dad is a legend. I'll never forget the first time I went with you to, like, out. We went to, what happened to these?
Salud.
Candiles.
Oh,
or
yeah.
A Candiles. I want to say it, like, I always don't know how to say that word correctly.
Candiles. Los Candiles nightclub.
Yes, and it's like, girl. So I remember you getting on stage, and she had like this whole persona of like, she's excited to be there, but like also she's like, people know her there. So I was like, okay, I don't get it. But she's like so humble. So she's like, I hope that, you know, she gives the lady a hug, the girl that's singing on stage, and like, and she knows everyone. And then she's like, I hope she lets me sing. I'm like, girl, I'm gonna make sure she lets you sing. Remember?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I said to her. And I was like, you need to let her sing, because she knows how to sing. Mind you, never heard her sing in my life. But I loved her already. So I was like, you need to let her sing. And so bitch gets on the stage and knows a whole routine. She had a whole choreograph.
I did.
I was like, imagine if you were me. No, imagine if you were me.
I see it. Uh-huh. It's playing in my head right now. I'm like, you're like, what the fuck? This bitch is part of the act.
Oh my god. I was like, I filmed it.
Yeah.
I definitely filmed it. I have it somewhere. I'm gonna post it again after this, because I was really like, this bitch is just magical. where did she come from?
No, so which is a trick.
You can pull it closer to you.
This one? Yeah. Luvia is the name of the singer that you were like,
Okay. Uh-huh.
So Luvia is the first singer that I, or one of the singers, when I joined my dance band, Luvia was in my dance band.
Okay.
And then, so we actually were playing at Los Candiles. So when I started my dad's band, the first club I ever performed at was at Los Candiles.
Oh yeah.
And that's why,
that
space is really important to me, because that's where I started.
Tell us about it. Don't tell us what it is. It's not just your regular average.
Oh no, it's not your average, like, Latinx club. It's like a, it's a cute hole in the wall. Like, it looks like just like a red building, and you're just like, what the hell is this red building? But you walk in, and there's like mirrors along the wall.
It's iconic. It's, you walk like, in, and it's a movie, okay?
You're like transported into like
it's all
this
like
all red, like fantasy, like red light disco fantasy.
Yes, mm-hmm. Girl. And it's a drag club, right?
They do have a show. They have two shows. It's like según es artistas imitando artistas, which like translates to artists imitating artists.
Which is the Jenny Rivera impersonator is there, and I fucking love her so much. I saw her also. Shout out to her. I don't know her name, but shout out to her because she also performed at Sazon.
I'm not kidding.
In
you recognize her?
Yeah. Well,
oh,
she was the same way. I was like, oh my god, that's definitely Jenny. And then she let me sing, and I was like, hell yeah, you know.
Yes, that's amazing.
So yeah, go on.
But yeah, so Los Candiles is a really special place in Los Angeles, and from Candiles, I performed at Los Globos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Echo
Park.
Pan American, which is another like Latino like nightclub out here, and then Club Bahia, which is like where we've been at for the last few years, and that's on Fridays we're there. So most weekends I'm performing with my dad Friday or Saturday. Now at Los Candiles on Saturdays.
Okay. So, dude, I love it there. We have to go back.
Please.
Maybe for my birthday. Well, it's like shit's getting hard with like the COVID and everything.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to like plan anything.
Yeah, we just got the gig there, but for the most part.
What day is it?
Saturdays.
Oh, Saturdays.
Like
yeah, all
like
of them.
All the
Saturdays.
Saturdays. We're there Saturday.
Hell yeah, okay.
Take a Saturday.
Oh my god,
yeah.
No, I did see that. You guys look like you had the funnest
time
ever.
I hiked with my mom. We really had such a beautiful time. My mom never goes out, and then she went there and she was.
Her mom's the cutest, and she loves to dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huge thing. Yeah.
I can do it. I already seen that in Valentina. The first time I ever went out with her, first of all, we were in the back of the line. We were in the back of the line at fucking La Cita.
Oh my god.
And she wanted to go see this band. What was the band?
It was Quita Pena.
Okay.
And I was like, we're gonna miss the show.
She was like, no, we're
outside.
Not.
You were outside.
The
last
of the line.
End of the line, okay? All the way.
Quita Pena was
gonna
go on in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, we're gonna miss.
And so she was like, actually, we're not. And then she just, I don't know, she went somewhere and then she came back. She was like, follow me.
Oh my god. Bitch.
And then we went to the front, me, her, and Michelle. And then she danced her ass off. She was shaking that ass the whole night.
I've seen her shake her ass, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've known to do that.
I've known to shake my ass in every setting. I wish Jen was here. Jen, where are you?
Jen is also an ass shaker, might I add. She's definitely number two. Or number one up there. I would say tied, actually.
The top two.
Top two ass shakers.
One and one is what she is.
Oh man. It's so fun, you guys. I love hanging out with you. And then, well, okay, so what were we talking about? Oh, weekend. What happened on the weekend?
Yeah.
So you were at Bahia
yeah.
with your daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell me about, like, your relationship with your dad. Are you guys close?
To an extent. So my folks separated when I was younger, and the relationship with dad was we would see him every other weekend and stay at like his place. And by the time like the memories that I have, like those are the ones like I remember my stepmom like when they first started dating. So I have a stepmom, and then I have three half brothers, and so like as I got older, like I feel our relationship probably was like divided just because, you know, he had a new family. So but we would still see him every other weekend, but it's not the same, you know, like having
yeah.
a dad all the time. So
mm-hmm.
And then I think like as I got older, he always like definitely made it his, and even now like he makes it his a mission to like, you know, make sure I'm good and like
mm-hmm.
You know, has my back pretty much. Like what dad would show up early, save a parking spot so that when his daughter shows up to the gig So that when his daughter shows up to the gig 5 minutes before she's supposed to be on stage, she has a party.
Instead of trying to change him, he just knows to how to work with you. So, he's just like, let me just guide her. She's going to get here and kill it, but she's going to be right on the money. Like, that's me too. I'll be there at 9:59. Like, and if I get there at 10:01, it's a disaster, but I'm there at 10:59.
I know. I can always expect a phone call. I'm like, I'm on my way.
By the fucking nick of time, huh? Mm-hmm. What did you do? So, what did you do this weekend?
This weekend? Isn't this the weekend right now?
Yeah, it's Friday. Friday yesterday.
Shit, I can't do this anymore because that's what I used to do. It was on Sundays.
You're on autopilot.
So, what are you doing right now?
Right now?
On the weekend.
Saturday. What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I went out. Actually, I went out on a date.
Oh, she did go on a date. I remember. Didn't he ever text back?
He did text back, but you know, some dudes are like, anyway.
Yeah, she said everything but nothing at the same time. She said some dudes are anyway. Valentina's attitude is unmatched.
And then I spent time with my mom. That was really nice. That was cute. Yeah, that's cute.
It sounds cute. Yeah. I was on my way over here, and what vibe I was on? I think I should.
Survivor.
Yes, I was just on that vibe. Let's go there.
Is it there?
Where? Oh yeah, this is like it was doing it for me. Wait, but now I don't know where I'm playing from.
It's from the
Lord,
right.
Lord,
all
Lord.
The way to the right. Yeah.
Okay. No. Damn commercial. I feel like Valentina like laughs a little too hard when I fuck up.
No. I just think it's funny that you didn't buy the YouTube subscription.
No, I didn't. No.
Why didn't you use it for the movie?
Oh yeah, so I guess if you buy it, you don't have to have the ads on.
Yeah, you won't have ads.
Okay. Well, how much is it?
I think it's like $9.
Somebody from the audience, please spend only $9 a month to use your
It would be your donation to the show.
The subscription.
Yeah, we do need donations to the show, you guys, because I need to put some magical survivor. I need Destiny's Child energy right now.
Exactly.
I am a survivor. Yes. I'm going to make it, okay? And I am going to get this space
yes.
to call my home. Like, I am going to create a home for myself for the first time. Like, I've only ever lived with roommates or for the last couple of years I was living with my mom.
Yeah.
So now I'm gonna make this space my and I just keep visualizing
that.
It in my head. Like it has a big window and I can just keep visualizing myself looking out that window and just feeling like so peaceful. And if it doesn't happen, I'm also so cool with that.
Yeah.
Because my mom was telling me like if it's meant for you, it will be so easy. It will literally be like the easiest process.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like, I'm tired of trying to force things and then being upset.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, learn my...
To flow with it.
Yeah.
Be at the right vibration of what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about...
how this song just, like, brought us in. We're like, okay.
Is this called Millennial Mija Therapy?
You know what's so funny? My little, my little Gen Z cousin, who's like my little sister, she's always like, you millennials with the sage and the Palo Santo and the crystals, you guys are so weird. I did not know the Gen Z thought that was weird. I was like,
I thought they were totally in on it too.
Me too. And then she's like,
turn up your light.
She's like, obviously, your little Palo Santos.
Palo Santo.
You're like, what
I'm like, I'm getting in touch with myself.
Wow.
And she's like, weirdo. Because, you know, Gen Zers, they're all like mechanical. They're like little robots.
Right.
You know, they're all about the algorithms.
That's like a thing, huh?
The algorithm?
Yeah.
They're about
coding the matrix. And we're just like.
Yeah, but they're going to get like where our generation, like, kind of fell off because we were in the pro. Like, I think every generation has its opportunity at their age that they're at to be like the fighters, like the soldiers, the fighters for justice, the protesters, the people on the front lines of things. And then they're gonna pick up where we left off, you know. And I think that they're kind of like more prepared to.
Where have we left off though?
Like, we left off with like the last protest that we were all into, like last year or some shit. And then we were like, all right, you guys take a minute.
I think we left off at the Vietnam student protest, and then it skipped a couple generations. No, just kidding. Maybe like we left off at like Watts and Rodney King, and then it skipped.
Nah, I think
we need to get it together.
But anyways, okay, don't go there. This is not a political show. Just say it is. We're going to be interviewing more political candidates.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Eunice Hernandez is running for district council member of District 1, which is Highland Park, Northeast LA.
Amazing.
Wow.
And she came on my show, and y'all need to vote for her. And I want everybody to know this. This is a fact that you need to know about LA. If you support if you send her $50, the LA City Council matches it times 6.
Wow.
What?
So you can send her $100 and really be sending her like $600.
Exactly. Wow.
So if you think you don't make a difference, you do.
Yeah.
And that small little donation makes a difference, because in order to be eligible, in order to be eligible, I know we need more. In order to be eligible, they have to come up with $1 million to run.
Kidding.
They have to raise $1 million.
That is ridiculous.
And imagine for some people how easy that is, a drop of a hat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's then all of the work that we have, that our people have to do in order to get put in that position. And so that's why we need to put them in that position.
Absolutely.
Like, she's from Highland Park. She grew up there.
That's right.
You know, and so that's who we want representing us, if anyone.
Yeah,
and you know what? I don't want to do the goddamn job.
No.
She does.
But I have a lot of critique about, you know, she wants to do it. If there's somebody that's from our community that wants to do this job, then we need to support them to get there. Because then if you don't, then you have no right to complain.
Right.
Yeah.
She wants to help the community.
We can hear you.
Oh, she wants to help the community.
And so we need to, and did you know that Luis Rodriguez, author of Always Running, is running for governor of California?
What? I'm kidding.
Yeah, I want him on my show too. I want to have him on. I want to hear what he has to say. But yeah, so I just went off on a tangent. What else is next? Dude, so my mom is wanting, I took my mom yesterday to go see an RV and motorhomes, because on the way back from Texas, my mom and me came up with this plan that I was gonna go on my own. Like, so this is literally like the place is manifesting itself after we created this plan.
Whoa.
So
amazing.
That fast.
That's how it is.
And so we made this like plan that she was gonna help me get my place in terms of like helping me stay focused on the search, because that was something that I would just give up on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And her plan is she wants to buy an RV and go around the country. She's like retired, she can go and do that.
That's cool.
And we would join her once in a while. I want to go to the Grand Canyon with her. It's like a solid plan for us to have like a going forward family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went and saw the motorhomes yesterday for the first time, and so it's making it like real step. And it was cool because she was like, thank you for making me, because I think she was a little like nervous and scared, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, thank you for making me go.
That's a big step. That's a big step. And then for her to, you know, like see it come to life a little bit with you too, because you guys both came up with that plan, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I want to see her, like go live and do fun things. And I want to do fun things with her. But like that, there's so much that holds us back, you know? We think that.
Yeah.
You know, and then something that bothered me was that, you know, a friend of hers was like, oh, it's going to be too much work. Not knowing that that's a very, like, coming from, if you're an important person to me and you say that to me, your opinion means a lot to me.
Right.
And so those,
it's
like,
damaging almost.
Yeah, even if the person that's saying it has a good intention, they don't want you to have a lot of work. That was why they said it.
Right.
Not knowing that you're barely building up the courage to go and do something.
Mm.
You know, and so it was just cool. And then we got to see ourselves in these motorhomes. And like, you know, it was like really cool. We took pictures and videos. And so I know that once my mom has something in her mind, she will do whatever she needs to do to get it.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm confident that she'll get this motorhome. And
so exciting.
We'll be out on the road again.
Beautiful.
Your trip looks so beautiful.
It was amazing. It looked really good. Yeah.
It was, we needed that.
Yeah.
We never did nothing like that before.
That's cool.
So we needed to like have that bonding time. Even though like you know you have to get to the bonding time, you have to go through the
awkwardness,
the anger, the frustratedness, the being around somebody that you're not always around, that gets on your nerves. Like that's part of creating a relationship, and sometimes people don't want to do that because it's too uncomfortable. But
they don't know how to handle that.
Yeah,
right.
We have to be willing to be uncomfortable if we want to change, because you can't. If you want the same thing you've always had, then go ahead. Keep doing the same thing you've always done.
Yeah.
you know, but if you want something different, you have to be willing to feel different things, and that's not always fun.
True.
So yeah, let's get into what else. Let's get into the fact that I'm still banned on IG.
Boo.
That's
seriously
what?
Ridiculous.
What the hell is that noise, you guys?
I think Destiny's Child is still on.
Yeah, oh, Lord.
Please donate to the Millennial Mayhem Podcast YouTube subscription efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and also please donate to the Millennium We Have Podcast your time. If anybody wants to come to the podcast with me and like help me set all this stuff up so I'm not all raggedy, that would be really helpful.
She is not raggedy at all.
But I could be more
just overwhelmed.
Yeah, I could be more on point. But I just need a team.
Everybody, you know what, Angela? Like, even Linda could probably attest, like, you just have to, it just happens. You know what I mean? Like when she goes and it's part of the process. When she goes and sets up for her her shows.
That was literally today.
Yeah.
Earlier this morning.
When I go, I've done so many mistakes when I was like filming, when I was doing documentaries. Like I would like forget so much stuff. One time I like filmed in the completely wrong format.
It's
the
setting up part. I think like. It's real.
That, and then Spirit says, yes, amen.
Confirmation. Holy shit.
Y'all, when we're together, the weirdest, spookiest.
Should we tell the story now?
There are so many stories. I will never forget this story. I will never forget
no,
this story.
No, hold on. Wait about. Okay. Let's tell them about the first full moon night we all hung out and the fact that the stage lit itself on fire. And if anybody wants to not believe me, I don't know.
I have a story before that we should tell.
Okay.
It's like a pre-cruise.
Okay. Start it and then we'll go there.
I will never forget the time that all of us were together and then we were like listening to Jill Scott Heron.
Okay.
We were listening to As Living As We Do, Upside Down, blah blah blah. Who Will Survive in America? Who Will Survive in America? Like
yeah,
that very famous
poem
that he has. And as soon as that poem ended, as soon as the Who Will Survive in America part like ended. Remember, we heard an explosion.
Oh my god!
Like,
I forgot about that.
As soon as the poem ended, we were literally talking about, you know, like,
Jill
Saffron, and then it was the LAPD.
It was the
fire.
Oh, yeah,
the explosion. So, anyway, go to the full moon story.
Okay.
That was a good precursor
that
I was like, wow.
Stop.
Guys, how does it happen? I don't know, but so there was another time where we were at Valentina's house, and it was like because we spent basically the whole summer in the I'm like not in the middle, hold on, in the backyard. We were the backyardigans for the whole last summer. And we just would sit out there, smoke and talk and do Millennium We Had Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And one night we were sitting out there and we decided to burn the homeboy sage. Not the homeboy sage, but the homeboy's sage. The sage belonged to the homeboy.
Mistake number one.
And, because you're not supposed to burn someone else's sage. But so as we were talking and like just kind of sharing out loud, I had the sage in my hand and it was, you know, when sage is like sage, it's just burning and you just see the smoke. Okay, there's that. But it re-lit on fire, okay? And tell them I'm not crazy.
No, that thing blew. It was like, you ever see, like, Goku, like, Dragon Ball Z or something?
Yeah.
I don't know, Pokemon. It was like a ball of fire. It was like, brah!
And we just all looked at each other like, what the fuck?
It's true.
We're like, what is going on right now?
But then, so then we did like our own little bruja thing where we decided to
letting go.
We did like a cleansing ritual together, collectively.
It really worked.
And it worked.
And it worked.
Incredible.
And it worked.
Yes.
It's truly amazing.
And it's just like a really cool sisterhood that I think we found that's like unlikely. I had no idea. I thought I was just gonna go hang out with Linda. I mean with
Jen.
With Jen's friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then Jen will get to meet my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knew we were all going to be like friends. And then what else? We went to disco night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was it like?
We were the best dressed people there.
Roller disco.
Roller disco.
That was so fun.
Yeah. But the, also, I talked about the event already because the music was too low.
That is just like the deep, like the music selection. I was like,
this is a disco.
The DJ.
Talk commercial.
Talk a little bit about like the responsibility of a DJ.
I mean, it's you're a vibe setter. Like you're
literally,
you know, you're creating the ambiance,
mm-hmm.
the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like so that's why.
How much pressure is there in that though?
It's a lot for me personally because, I mean, it's a responsibility. So for me as a DJ, like I'm responsible for the vibe, the mood, like even my vibe, sometimes you have to check your own vibe.
Mm. So like, have there been times where you weren't in a good mood and then you had a DJ and then your set was shitty?
It throws me
like,
it'll throw me off. Like my sets will get thrown off and then it just takes me a little like, you know, you just gotta gather yourself and
yeah.
like really like deliver what's meant to, you know, what you're supposed to do, your job. So.
Yeah, I feel you. So let's get into you. I didn't get to talk about Bob Durst, but I'll bring that back. We'll bring it back around.
We're gonna close with Bob Durst. Yes.
Well, we need a break from Linda's life story. We're going to talk a little bit about my friend, Bob Durst.
Whoa.
You guys walk off the Millennium Mehab podcast like, I'm leaving. Fuck this.
Remember I told you, too. I was like, you'll catch me in the deer headlights because I have no idea who you're talking about. So
yeah.
It's
just imagine us hanging out at Valentino's and I'm telling you about some Netflix documentary I watched because that's what I'm always talking about.
Netflix.
I love documentaries. But I want to know about, tell me how it all started. Tell me where you grew up.
Okay, well, I'm from Pasadena.
Shout out!
Dina! I'm from Pasadena, California.
Shout out, hometown.
Hometown, Pasadena, Dina kid. But yeah, my family is from El Salvador. My
mm-hmm.
parents both met in LA. They came to the U.S. at like different points in their lives, but somehow met in like a Latino dance party.
Mm.
El Salon in the Bonaventure Hotel.
Oh, that is so fancy. That sounds so glamorous. Your dad does look very glamorous though.
He had, you know, he grew up in the, I think the 70s just like had some like,
yeah, really that's where you get a lot of your style, like, inspo, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes,
for sure.
The 70s are such like a style
era.
Era.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They had like a flair that's just
it's very
like,
distinct.
What a good generation. Yeah,
I love like the photo books that my grandma has, and so like because she came in the 70s and then like my mom and my tios and tias were all born around that time, you know. So you get to see like the era in photo book. So that's what I really like photo books. I kind of want to start getting into like making scrapbooking.
Oh,
and
yeah, my dad has one.
I would
love
to do that.
Yeah, we can have a lasagna day and then
a scrapbook.
I would love a scrapbook.
My mom's making the next lasagna. She loved your mom's lasagna, by the way.
She
loved it.
She approved.
And sure. She is excited to make the next lasagna for the
she
next
wants
lasagna.
To show off
so
next.
Excited about the
and
lasagna cook off. Your mom or your dad have to show
the
lasagna.
Freezer. She's
going
to give us both first.
Do you know what to tell us? You
not
really to
the lasagna day.
goes to Whole Foods.
Goes to Whole Foods once.
Yeah.
Wait,
oh
I'm really hoping people can see us.
Wait,
can
I just
want to
flag that our phones will, the battery will die. Angela.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it's almost been an hour. We started later. So we're
getting 36 minutes, but yeah, good.
Yeah, we're into it. Go to continue talking to me about your connection to where you grew up.
In terms of Pasadena, I went to Pasadena City College and I learned screen printing there, and that's like pretty much kind of like
the Nabro
my Nabro t-shirts.
When did you design those?
the concept I thought of, I don't even know when, but like I started going hard like around 2018, like trying to put them out there, like introducing, I think, the shirts, but
show it to your camera. Nah, bro. Yes,
where can we buy that? They're so cool.
Right now I have a link on my website. It's just nimandavis.com, and I have like a shop there, but everything is like made to order, so it takes me like a little while, just because I do have inventory right now, but you know, like certain sizes need to get like filled or whatever, but so made to order for now. But so screen printing in Pasadena, and I have like, we have a mutual friend, BB Barrios.
Yeah.
So BB and I, we used to do like YouTubing, and like we used to blog a lot.
I love BB. I want her on my show.
Yes, too. You should totally have
me and BB.
BB
were together in high school. We went to PHS together, and we were in Mecha together. I was the president of Mecha.
Oh my goodness.
She was my treasurer.
I love that.
I can totally see that. And I have a picture of her counting money, like with the
boss.
Yes, it's boss. So cute. But those days were like we were into, I don't know. There's this thing I feel about like me and BB that we got along because we were like too artsy for the hood kids and too hood for the artsy kids. Like, so there was like this little like thing. Like, we were definitely like we could kick it, but it's like, oh, she's a weirdo. Like, I feel like we have this like, and that's what artists have in common. It's like, it's not that we're weird, it's that we are 100% ourselves,
yeah,
and everybody else is acting.
Yeah, yeah, we don't
and
fit.
So yeah, you don't always fit, and that's what I love about people like us. I think that's what the connection is, the draw.
Yeah.
It's like you're so uniquely yourself that you can recognize that in other people.
Totally, yeah. And it doesn't like throw you off. Like,
mm-hmm,
you take people as they are. And that's
what we used to walk her cat with a leash.
Mr. Kitty, her cat. Mr.
I
Kitty.
Love BB
Mr.
so
Kitty
much.
Mr. Barrios, RIP. Mr.
Oh,
Kitty,
yeah.
Barrios. But yeah. But yeah, Mr. Kitty, she would walk him on a leash. That's true. That's true.
Talk to me about your connection to LA, because it's not just a Pasadena.
No, so I started throwing shows in Pasadena, Altadena, like in my early 20s, and then that led me into like fashion, and I would do fashion shows in LA, and I would host my own fashion shows, and
dude, I did the same thing.
Really? And for a little while, like I even had like a little modeling collective.
I
like,
love that.
Yeah, I rented out a room at the Altadena Library where I just got like model folks that were interested in modeling. And we
yeah.
Were like,
dude, that was part of this thing called Project Ethos, and we would like.
Oh, beautiful! I know who they are. Yeah.
Wait, your head is like being covered by this little thing. So,
ta-da.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, so
it was
you
like
were
a
into,
fashion show, right?
Yeah, it was a fashion show, a music show, an art show, and I was I did they discovered me on MySpace.
What? I love that.
MySpace show.
I've had a business card since I was 18. Like just whether it was for decorating backpacks or whatever the fuck,
yeah.
I was always trying to do something. Like,
I love that.
And it sounds like you were the same way.
Very similar for sure. Like I always like to have my hand in like a few different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's music or arts. I was into sports and stuff like that. But fashion shows were like my introduction to like meeting music folks like in the music scene, because like with fashion is like that art and the music component, you
yeah
know? So
it's like extensions of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and so I went to college, and when I came back from that experience, I joined my dad's band like right after, and so
and he was playing where
at the time? I think it was like Los Globos.
And you were how old at this time?
20, 21.
Okay.
And so, like, I've been in his band for, like, 13 years now.
Did you go to college at all? Or, like, PCC? I went to PCC.
I went to Grinnell College, and then I did some time in
She said this sometimes. Sounds like prison.
It was like prison, the high key.
For real. God, some of us went to school, like, and yeah. it was like because we had to. Like, this is what our parents, the boomers, they told us, like, go to school, and your like life will be better than my life was. When in reality, we're out here with all this debt now, which is a whole crisis, but they were also kind of like victims of the collective consciousness about like, oh,
yeah.
the way to be successful, like the way,
right.
You know, so they told us to go to college, and I went, but I wasn't good at it. Like, I was like,
I mean, there's struggling. I'm sure you're good at
yeah.
things.
But I was more of an artist. So yeah, it was like, I felt like in my college experience, I lost my poetic voice for a while because I started writing shit that sounded like essays.
Ooh.
You know, so I feel like you, when you're an artist and you go into academia and it kind of like washes you out, like you have to translate your brilliance into MLA format.
It was,
yeah,
yeah.
That makes sense.
And 100%. So it just kind of like reroutes your brain to be more, to be less creative and more like perfect.
At a different experience, because like when I went to Grinnell, it was opposite. It was more like free, like you had your voice.
Oh, really?
But then because of my situation there, like when I came back, I had to fit in that like box that you're talking about, the MLA format or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I had already spent 2 years doing this over here. Like, it was a liberal arts experience. So.
Oh, where was it at?
In Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did some school in Iowa.
How long were you there?
Cool.
Yeah, like I spent my first winter there, like there was like an ice storm. Yeah, crazy. But it was a year. I did my first year there, then I came to Pasadena and did like some school there, and then my second semester of my sophomore year, I went to Iowa again, and then came back and did the rest at PCC. But that's where I got into the screen printing department, and then like learning fashion and doing the fashion shows and stuff like that.
But yeah, nice. What is it about fashion that attracts you, like the making clothes? Or like, for me, I am strategic in the way that I dress, because I don't like to be like everyone else. Like, I know that in a way all of us have similarities, but when something kind of gets played out to me, like, I'm just like, no, I need to find a new way to approach this. And I feel like you are so the same way. When I went to Target the other day,
I
like had to FaceTime or like send her pictures, because I'm like, everything here has Linda written all over it. Like, so many cute Linda pieces.
Everything you sent, I was like,
dude, like, because it's just screamed your like style, which is very distinct because it's very you.
Thank you.
I love that about you. So tell me about your style, and how did you like, what is it an amalgamation of?
Well, like, I'm definitely inspired by like family photos, and then so they, when they came up in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s, like the fashions from those time periods were different, and also just like picking out things that like I thought were cool. I grew up very like tomboyish, and not until recently did I start getting like in touch with my femininity. So like for me, like exploring like, you know, makeup and like I don't know, other girly things or feminine things, you know, like feminine things. But yeah, like nails. I love
nails.
These
nails. Those nails. Show them to the camera, please, because those are the cuties. And who did them?
Jasmine. I don't want to butcher her last name, but I know her account if anyone wants to
yes,
know.
We need to put on all of our
nail techs. Yes.
And also, this is random, but this just reminded me. Did you guys see Maya, Mother Maya, on the new quarter? Maya Angelou?
I haven't seen it. I heard
yes,
it.
I think I have it. One. I got it right now.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding. Already?
In and out, yes.
It's in rotation already.
It is. But that's, I don't know. I love that. I love seeing that. The fashion thing, like, have you ever sewn? Is that something
yes.
that
I have? So like I screen printed this shirt,
but I see it's sewn too.
Yes, and then like I'll just take like I'll upcycle like old shirts or like pants or
yeah.
like whatever, and I'll sew little patches onto my clothes or
I really want to get into tie-dyeing.
I love tie-dyeing.
I'm a huge tie-dyeing fan.
Tie-dyeing is fun.
100%. Please.
It's just like, it's something that is like distinctive to our generation. Not distinctive, because everybody, like, you know, it keeps going.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I have not letting go of. Like,
yeah,
I have so much different versions of tie-dye things.
Aww.
Like, if something's tie-dye, I'll automatically walk in.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm already walking over there. I love tie-dye stuff.
That's cute. Rhinestones is also for our generation.
Rhinestones.
It's
never
really
back. The juicy shit. Dude, have you been watching, like, the funny little, like, TikTok videos of, like, the POV video? Like, POV, it's 2005 and you're getting ready for school. And there's, like, the scrunchy hair and, like,
yes,
all this, like, random.
The rhinestone net phone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All the
rhinestone blackberries.
All blackberries.
True.
Were everything. Blackberry was the first, like, you felt like
phone
a bad bitch,
yeah,
when you were
phone,
like,
phone.
Let me. No, actually, the first one was a Snapchat one, the Motorola.
Oh, yeah,
the
razor.
The razors.
Yeah.
The pink razor.
That was
a purple one.
Yeah, I had a pink razor.
Purple. When text messages were 10 cents.
Did you ever have
each?
A. Oh,
no,
yeah.
T-Mobile Sidekick.
They were free after
there.
9, though. Call me after 9.
You don't remember the T-Mobile Sidekick?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah,
really,
I remember
cool.
That. Yeah, I wanted one of those so bad, and I did not get one.
The little chirps, right?
Oh, yeah, where you at?
I love that.
Wow.
That's amazing. Technology.
Technology.
So,
this
is, I need to add in Robert Durst, okay? You guys need to, you need to.
Here we go.
Put your seatbelt on, everybody.
We definitely have two sides on this.
Okay, and I know Valentina's going to play the devil's advocate because she saw it. So I'm talking about this new documentary that I watched called The Jinx, and it's about Robert Durst, who is a billionaire son who has been tried, accused of 3 murders and not convicted of any of them.
Wow.
And that might look bad to some people.
It might look very strange that you happen to be at the wrong place.
Listen,
at the wrong time where people die.
Listen,
3 times.
That man is autistic. I'm telling you right now. And I can see the train of thought that he, if you were to just watch it with me, I could explain his train of thought on every single part of this.
So wait, he did or he did not?
No, he did not do it.
So he has like
and
a serial killer trailing him?
No, this man is always at the wrong place at the wrong time. He killed that guy. He killed his neighbor.
So
no, but listen, that was self-defense. That was self-defense. And look, I don't think that the, listen,
I'm listening,
but
I also
Robert
don't know
Durst.
What you're talking about.
R.I.P. Robert Durst, not Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. Robert Durst, the autistic / serial killer.
Accused or alleged.
Yes, allegedly, because he's never been convicted.
Okay.
So,
he just admitted it on a hot mic, but that was the autistic in him.
No, he's talking to himself, and I can understand what he was saying, because he was saying, this is what his actual words were. And I'm going to tell you one thing, those filmmakers that made that documentary, shame on them.
Ooh.
Shame on them. Because that's called entrapment, and that's what they did to him. They knew that how he was. They knew how that he was always just kind of, just a little not all there. That's how they would, you know, look at it. But that man was talking to himself. He was like, yeah, now what are they going to think? Because he did write that note. He wrote that note because he found his best friend, and then he found her dead. If you had already been accused of 2 murders before that, what would you do? Would you call the cops?
I'm like,
I probably would not be in the wrong place at the wrong time with 2 murders behind me, but
look, that woman that was writing that book,
I would not have written a note saying I did it either.
Well, exactly. Think about that. If you were a mastermind, a murdering mastermind, would you write a fucking note that catches you up on the whole thing?
I don't know. I've got $1 billion.
I mean, don't serial killers have, like, this narcissist tendency to them where they like to, like, leave clues behind so they could almost get caught? I mean,
this man is too simple for that. He's too simple.
It sounds very complex.
Girl,
look,
you know, if this man was our people, he would not be given this benefit.
No,
of
no,
like, oh, 3 murders, wrong place, wrong time, sir,
yeah.
You definitely did.
No, I know for sure, I know for sure, but he's literally the perfect storm. There's so many reasons why this all turned out the way it did, and I can explain all of them. on the next episode of the Millennial Kid Podcast, which will be an in-depth analysis on Robert Durst's trial.
Not for Durst.
Billionaire white man autistic.
Yes, so. Look, listen to me. I'm telling you, the lady that was writing the book that was his best friend that also got shot in the head, which is a mob-style hit. Which is a mob-style hit.
It just gets more and
by
more
Robert Durst?
No! That's who they think it was Robert Durst because he walked in, he was already going to meet her.
I'm like, what the
he
hell?
Was already going to be here. I know what everybody
so thinks. So that's the fourth time he was in the wrong place at the wrong
no,
time.
No, that's the third time.
Attempted murder.
That's the third time.
Wow.
I know. I feel like if I was a lawyer, I could get him off.
I mean, the detectives would be like, sir, I'm not to blame
exactly.
you, sir, but how is it that it just so happens that each time you're going to go meet somebody, they just turn up
their which
sir.
Is why, but the reason why he left that note is because she lived alone. Nobody was going to find her. He didn't want his friend to sit there and rot. So he thought, oh, in his little simple self mind, he wrote a note talking about cadaver at whatever thing because he didn't want his friend to be sitting there, like, rotting.
Yeah.
That was his really best friend. And she was also the daughter of a mob boss. And so she was writing a book currently at that same time because
uh-huh.
she was running out of money. She was writing a book
about
the mob.
That's a big no-no.
So think about that. Think about all those factors.
Just
and then you have little simple-ass fucking Robert Durst is coming in to go see his homegirl. And he walks in and she's dead. And then what is he going to do after he already got put on trial for murder?
Like a mobster's daughter.
Yes, that's the sound of his homegirl. But anyway, so go watch this documentary on HBO Max and fuck Netflix for now. Because you know what? I'm really mad that they canceled Head to Fight. And I'm passionate about it. And
yeah.
So, and I was always like giving some great Netflix recommendations, but I'm going to just stick to HBO Max for now.
That's how deep you hurt.
Yeah, I guess because that show means a lot to me, and it felt like that show employed a lot of brown actors, writers, members in Hollywood. And there's not a lot of shows that were intentional like
that. You know, the preoccupying thing about that too is that Netflix. Obviously, it's wonderful that Netflix is bringing a lot of international cinema and shows, you know, and stuff like that. But also, they are opting to buy more shows in Latin America and stuff like that because production is much cheaper for them.
Yeah.
So the business model works for them, right? Where they can get all of these like Latin American shows and then Latino, like US-based shows get cut. But they think they hit the mark, you know, they check the sign because like, well, we got all these shows from Latin America. But it's like, no, like Latin America and U.S. Latino are not the same experience.
Yeah, well, they
similar,
because they don't
but
know
not
that.
The same experience.
So they
so
put
they
it into a
put
monolith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
wow.
It's not fair. And like even, oh, shit.
It's just, was it Mercury retrograde?
Again. It's okay, we're still live. It says we're still live. We've been live for 54 minutes, but I think like 10 of those minutes we were just who knows what.
Oh no, but look, the cameras are still on because the YouTube is working. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it's just the signal of the TV.
Okay, well, so back to how Robert Durst is innocent and I'm going to break him out of prison.
Is your mom watching?
Is she? How do you know?
Because one is watching.
Oh, you guys, I also think I made another mistake.
Oh.
Because I think I gave you guys the link to the wrong YouTube channel.
No,
but we're all here. Look.
Yeah, but nobody's watching it.
Well, I'm watching now.
One is not what we normally get. At least if there's a few people that would want to watch this episode and probably can. So I think I gave the wrong link, but it's okay because this is going to save and then I'll be able to share the link after the fact. You guys, just. Look, I need help. I need somebody to come in here and help me with this damn show.
This is totally normal, Angela. This happens to all of us. Absolutely.
Who's back?
All of us.
Me.
I'll put you back.
Like,
I
do not worry.
You were on the other show.
Right there, look to the left. Yeah.
I've made incredible mistakes.
Is it raining outside?
Is it raining?
Probably. Yeah, it is. It was going to rain. Oh,
wow.
You guys want to go get something to eat after this?
Yeah, I'm starving.
Okay. I think Linda already ate, but she can come with us anyway. And I was going to take you home because I thought you didn't bring a car.
Oh, no, I did.
But then you did bring the car. Wait, where was I going over here? Oh,
two people watching.
Hi. See, two.
At the stream. There she is. She's back. But make sure that thing doesn't cover your face.
I just gotta say that, like, the whole show, I wish that we would have put Linda in the middle because the orientation, like, whenever I look at Linda, it looks like I'm looking outside. Anyway, it's just a film.
Okay, well, you're still there.
Oh, no, it's perfect now. So it should have been all along.
Ta-da.
I thought I was supposed to be in the middle considering I'm the host or whatever, but you know.
No, it's about the cameras.
Is it?
No, wait. It's still not working.
No, it's fine.
No, I said you were supposed to be in the middle.
Yeah, but I moved it because you said Linda looked better because she's like more closer.
Not working to me. I don't know. I have to be on your side and you have to be on my side.
Look at there.
Switch Valentina to where yours.
Yeah. Your face. Oh, she was smiling and she wasn't. She was like,
switch Valentina.
Switch you and me. You and me have to switch.
Yeah.
There we go. We got this. We got it. Perfect. Oh my God, that's been killing me the whole show. Because I do film, and so I look at, like, orientation and stuff like that, and I was, like, literally looking at the wrong direction.
Yeah, let's hear about the update with your project. What stage are you at?
Is that I've been manifesting the project, I've been really thinking about it, and now it's ready to start being put into action.
Yeah.
You know what? It's crazy, because
I'm picturing myself at the premiere.
Thank you. I need to start picturing, too. But the thing is, like, I shot the thing. Like, the thing is shot. It's just now
editing.
It's like having like a big, like a sculpture, like, you know, you have like a big block of marble.
Tell everyone what it is in case they haven't.
I shot a film over the years that I filmed in El Salvador, in Honduras, in like different parts of Mexico, like just like this whole story of what I went to go witness. So I filmed a lot of different experiences. And so, yeah, like, it's gonna get edited, it will come out. But
but
you know what, like, I didn't, you know what, it's, I mean, this is not what the show is about, but like, I think I do believe that thing, especially when something's like, you've been spending so much time in doing something that, you know, you get out, because I've had so much pressure from different producers being like, put this out, but the way that they wanted me to put it out was not the way that I envisioned it, you know? So I've been, maybe to my loss, I've been like holding it off, but I want more. At this point, I don't care when it comes out. It's going to come out, and it's going to come out the right way. Not
I agree.
What these like white producers were envisioning of what my story needed
to
be.
Them twisting your project into their version of what it is. But no, I respect that, and I'm here for it, and I can't wait to see us all
Thank
at the
you.
Premiere.
What? Farrah.
Yes, we're starting to start working on our outfits now.
Amen.
I feel like if we manifest backwards like that, I feel like that's a really good way to do it too.
100%.
Like to already act as if you already have the plan for that day.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Actually.
I love that.
That's what I've been. Talk to me about your practices, about manifesting and how you came across it. How did you get to be on this spiritual journey?
Oh. For my spiritual journey, I think it started when I started going to therapy, really. My spiritual journey, like, started when I started being honest with myself about, like, different areas of my life that were, like, bothering me or that would come up, essentially. And leaving me feeling, you know, unpleasant, so I think, like, the moment I started to be honest with myself and just kind of, like, tend to those areas, that's when I started becoming more spiritual and just kind of, like, looking for connection through, like, friendships and, like, through projects or connection to, I do believe in a higher power, what it is, what it looks like, what, you know, the definition of it, I don't know, I wouldn't be, you know, it's more of a feeling for me, but I do feel that there's something, like, bigger than me and myself,
gotta be.
You know?
Yeah.
But, spirituality, as of late, I started practicing Nam-myoho Renge Kyo through...
What is that?
So, it's part of, like, it's a type of Buddhism, it's the SGI, Soka Gakkai International is what it stands for. But it's a form of Buddhism, and I've just been, I guess you can call it like a student, I've just been like experiencing it and on my own time and my own terms, and then just like being a student, which is just like, because they're like philosophical and like ancient a practice, like you know, it's just like it's like anything else. You study something, you know. So I'm a student. I'm not always the best student, but it's just something I've been experiencing this last like a year or something.
And has it made an impact in your life?
Yeah, because the people who I practice with or who have introduced me to it have just been such a blessing that it's just been like, I feel, I tend to like follow my joy and follow like, so, you know, if these people are bringing me joy, like for sure, like I'm going to follow that. Mm-hmm. So I've just been following that.
How are your journals related to your practice?
This one was a gift from the band leader to Viaje Caliche. It's like a journal to help you with goal setting, and then the other one is my planner. So I love to carry both. At least my planner always, this journal thing is like fairly new, so I'm just trying to have a habit of always having it on me.
Yeah. So, what kind of self-care do you practice?
For me, let's see, because it's one thing, I know when I need to practice self-care, but I don't make it a thing to like, oh, I need to do this for myself. Like, I know when to practice it. I'm usually so on the go with like what I need to do. Like, I need to make money because I gotta pay shit and like pay my bills and stuff like that. You know, so it's just like I'm like always on that kind of like wheel. I'm just like, oh, I gotta work. I gotta, you know.
Yeah.
Do this.
It's hard to take care of yourself.
But I know what to do when things are. Yeah. But I'd like to use...
Because there's preventative self-care, and then there's self-care that's like damage control. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, I feel like shit right now, so I need to make myself feel better, so I need to have a whole... Like, you know the recipe, but then there's also like preventative self-care things. For me, that's been the juicing, because my stomach was killing me, girl. All the hot Cheetos and all the bullshit. Like, I was just... My body was telling me what it needed, and it was like, not this... And since I've been listening, I've been feeling so much better. But like, so that to me is something I'm looking at as preventative. Like,
good.
To just something if I, because that's medicine for your body.
Like, your stomach is tied to your, so science has shown now that the stomach is your second brain, basically.
Yeah.
So your stomach is tied to your mental health.
Yes, I watched the Red Table talk about on that. I'm not
kidding. 1,000%. So if your digestion, your gut biome, whatever, if that stuff is not working, then clearly you are going to feel depressed. Feeling good and stuff.
I feel like that's what has been my advantage lately. Lord, I don't think it's going to stay up on there.
No,
is
no.
it?
Ew.
What?
With me?
Yeah.
Yes. I watched a Red Table talk on it, and I love that show. Do you guys like that show?
I love that show.
I haven't really loved that show.
It's a Jada Pinkett Smith and her mom and her daughter. And they just talk about like pretty good topics, like
very
real ass shit.
Very.
And it's available on Facebook. So yeah. So we're coming to the end, but I still want to give you a chance to talk about projects that you're interested in pursuing and things you're working on now. What do you see yourself? What is this year like gonna look like for you?
Well, what I see for myself is like I wanna self teach myself and also like
and talk about your DJ class that you just had.
Oh, cute. I wanna self teach myself. Like, and pursue being a music producer.
Hell yeah.
I see me making like beats and like songs and writing songs and continue being a singer songwriter because I do have music.
Oh my god, I want to hear it.
OMG. And and so I do see more of that for me and probably continue with like with my dad's band. And
how how far can you take DJing? Like, in your, like, with what, how you look at it, how far do you want to take DJing?
Okay, so with DJing, part of it is archiving my records that I have, and archiving them, and also just, what's the word, essentially I'm preserving, like
a historian.
And so that's like with the records that I own, and a lot of them come from different places, but a huge part of my collection belonged to my grandfather in El Salvador, and I own a lot of Central American, but specifically Salvadorian music on vinyl. And it, how far it can take me is, it can take me back to El Salvador.
And it's about to.
In February, Jen, Valentina, and I will be flying to El Salvador. And I've got a few.
What do you think that trip is going to mean for you? Or like, what do you sense intuitively that that trip will bring?
Well, for me, I just want to continue bridging what I kind of started when I went the first time with my, as an adult, with my family in 2019. I met Tocadiscos Social Club, which is a vinyl club and collective out in El Salvador, and they're like DJing in pretty iconic areas in San Salvador and around El Salvador. And like, so for me, going in February, it means like continuing that, those friendships, and like building and growing with them, and experiencing like, you know, just the nightlife out there, and just,
I know, I'm excited, like, for you guys,
absorbing todo, you know, like but also being there as like someone, like, to share music from a tier, you know, like just bridging that. And I'm really excited because Valentina spent a lot of years in El Salvador and has her connections. And so it's just like my bridge, but it's also like with Valentina's bridge. And we're like,
I love that you're supporting her in that way.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. I mean, I think that, you know, the reason I moved to El Salvador was because I had learned so much about it through my old job, you know, gangs and all that stuff. And when Trump got elected, I was just like, I need to go down there and see what's up with this country, because I'm not even from there.
Oh, side note, she used to work at the Obama administration. That's what she used to do.
The White House.
Little old thing. A little old job.
I feel like maybe if I had been Salvadorian, I'm sure that maybe, like, if my mom would have come here from the war, she would have told me so many sad stories that I probably wouldn't have the courage to go. So I feel that, like, not being from there gave me this ignorance, to be honest, even though I read about the history, but it gave me this true ignorance and this, or maybe it's the words, not ignorance, like this, like, innocence to go down there. And it, so I wasn't scared. When I went down there, I was scared in the sense of, like, I knew about the gangs, but, like, I, you know, a lot of people from the diaspora, like, you know, their families lived through the pain. Like, right. It is, like, a trauma that's literally inside of their bodies. You know what I mean? So, but then when I was down there and seeing how, especially in the surf beaches, how many white people were there, and like Europeans and Canadians and stuff like that, but there weren't a lot of like U.S. born, like first generation Salvadorians, like the hermano lejanos, as they call them, right? There weren't the young people there that were like the children of the Salvadorian immigrants. And I found that so bizarre, because I was like, why is it that Australians or Canadians and stuff like that are buying houses here, but the children of Salvadorians are not here? Like, I don't see them. And so I think that, you know, I spent all the time there and I saw the good and the bad, but when I came back here, when I moved to LA, because my family had moved to Irvine, like, the first thing I wanted to tell people was like, y'all, El Salvador is such a beautiful country. Like, I need everybody. Like, I know.
Yeah, that's where you guys are going.
Everything is crazy.
Jen's dad, are you guys staying at his place?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I saw the videos of it.
Cute,
it's
going
to be beautiful. Tell me about the Chupita Vinyl Club.
Yeah, Chupita Vinyl Club is a club that I belong to that started in Texas. It's a club of women of color who have a passion for collecting records. And I joined about 6 years ago, and that's what really launched me into DJing. And when I joined the club, it was not initially like, oh, I'm going to learn to be a DJ. When I joined the club, it was, oh, I want to join the club because I want to, like, I've had an interest in vinyl and, like, an interest. And little did I, like, had an interest in vinyl and learning how to use a record player. And, like, I had always wanted to, but I didn't grow up with a record player. If anything, I grew up with CDs because I was, like, mom's generation, right? 90s,
yeah.
The 90s.
Uh-huh.
So
I was collecting CDs.
Vinyl was more my mom's upbringing because she remembers my abuelo with all his records. And so, like, so when she sees me with the record, she's just like, ah, I remember that one. Or, like, you know, it's a trip.
But you love music, number one.
Yeah.
Since you're little.
Yeah, it's true. So I guess, and then because I love music. So,
so and then how did you guys get that residency at La Cita, right?
Yeah. So La Cita, I have a relationship, like, I've, like, have been going there, I don't know, since, so my dad, we perform at Los Candiles, and one time, these DJs from Mucho Wednesdays, which is this old, like, this party in LA from, like, back in the day, these two promoters and DJs from a La Cita party randomly went to Los Candiles, saw Azúcar LA perform, and they're like, who is this young girl in this band at this venue, like, what?
Yeah.
And so they brought Azúcar LA to La Cita.
Oh, yes, I
and
love
that's
it.
And that's the connection, because it's
wow.
Just like, yeah, so it's like, my dad's band, I begged him, I was like, please, because they invited us to go check out La Cita.
It's a natural fit. It's
yeah.
a natural, you belong there.
Yes.
Yeah. And I will say, La Cita is hot as fuck, and they need to get more.
Especially when that big shows.
I'm willing
yeah.
to pay more on my cover.
OMG, I'm going to have to tell them.
Almost that. It's just so low.
And I want to hear more about the class, so tell me about the class,
yeah.
and tell me about the place where you held the class, because that's also special.
Yeah, yeah. So the place was called Nopali. It's a creative studio in East LA, and it's owned by three women of color. And I recently hosted a intro to DJing course.
Yes.
Yeah, as a co-teacher and it's like a collaborative intro to DJ course. I can't say that I just did it because it was Sam Herrera, aka Satan's Wifey on IG. We both really put in the effort to bring this course together. And Nopali and I DJed their grand opening, which is how I got introduced to the space. And then Sam had mentioned when I first met Sam, she was recommended by a friend, Fate Jazz, who's this like musician and singer-songwriter and DJ from LA. She was like, hey, you have to meet my friend Sam. She's always looking to DJ. And so I met with Sam, and then I invited her to one of my nights at Footsie's, and we like hit it off really well. Another Leo, like sidebar, but so like Sam and I hit it off, and she had mentioned that she was interested in teaching, and it, like, digital format of DJing has been fairly new to me because I've just been so used to like the actual records. In vinyl, so I was just really down to like.
Why did you want to put that class together? Why did you want to do this?
Well, for me, it's like I've always just been in spaces where, you know, that have like uplifted me and have like shows. So when we did come up with a class, we wanted to 100% make sure that we could have scholarships available for folks, because if they didn't have the funds, we like piece together the course, and then just like everything in terms of like marketing and like making the forms and reaching out and the, you know, emails and stuff like that, like all of that was like work. So we did offer like a cost of $80, and
which is extremely good.
Yeah, I mean,
for what you're learning, truly. I mean, and you're getting all of that expertise that you could, because how long have you been doing?
Well, the 6 years, but like my relationship with music and knowing music has been, you know, just like
you get the actual experience of DJing, but then you also get all of that like generational knowledge of music. Yeah,
that's,
you know,
number one.
Yeah,
I mean, any, you can learn how to DJ, but to have the taste, the ear, and then the knowledge.
Valentina has a good ear for music too. She's playlist here and now.
I am a playlister.
Yeah. Where can we find your playlist?
You can find my playlist on Spotify. Thank you.
Under what?
Probably Valentina. I don't know. Really. I don't even know.
I know, but yeah.
And where can we find your music?
Yeah.
Your mixes.
Well, I kind of like to have everything streamlined to like my website. So like, for my music or like buying any merch or contacting me or anything like that, folks can go to lindanluves.com and for sure find me on Instagram, because I'm trying to build my numbers there, trying to follow her.
Yeah,
I'm trying to like just reach the people who could connect with me, like, because I strongly believe, like, I used to be part of this summit called the We All Grow Summit, and I love the concept of like, you know, when one grows, we all grow.
Yeah.
And so like I just love connecting with folks, because when, you know, when we work together and like try to like accomplish something, it can be done. And like whether that's creatively or, you know, financially, or
yeah,
you know,
it's amazing what can happen when
socially.
We come together.
Socially,
yeah. And my last question for you is, what do you want your legacy to be in this city, in this world, in music? What do you want in general as an artist? What do you want your legacy to be?
Dang. I want to continue my family's legacy of creating music or just like being part of music and just like having my, just my impact, like, within the community of music, you know, and whether that's in LA or El Salvador, like, or if people are listening to me and like from wherever they are, you know, like I just want to connect to folks in different areas of the world, because that's one thing that I've learned with vinyl is just like, here's this record that was like either one pressed in like Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
but it's music from England,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, it's a trip for me to be like, and I'm in LA and
yeah.
I'm holding this record, like, it's
yeah.
just, you know, there's just a link, and we're, I just want to be part of that link, I guess.
I love that so much, and I know you will, and I hope you know that you are already.
Yeah,
yes,
it's a
definitely.
Trip.
Thank
you. You mean a lot to our community,
oh.
and you mean a lot to us as friends,
oh.
and I love you.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you came on my show, and
thank
I hope it's not the last
me.
Time, because
yeah.
you're now, a friend of the Millennium Hub podcast, because you're a friend of me.
Yes, thank you for extending an invitation to be on your show.
Of course. So this has been the Millennium Hub podcast. Thank you, Valentina, for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you to Linda for joining us. And thank you to whoever made it here, because I know I put the wrong link to the...
Hi, Mom.
I know I put the wrong link, but you guys, I promise I'm going to get it together. 2022 is all about getting it together and just keeping on, because I know I keep making mistakes, but I'm not going to let that stop me, and I'm just going to keep on going. And so thank you for watching the Millennial Mayhaw podcast. I promise I'm not giving up.
Woo!
It's the Motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.